Okay, who's this?
Matt, this is Joe Osteen from Texas, and I called just to see if I could maybe get you to turn that frown upside down and get in touch with, you know, your total victory side, because we're supposed to have total victory, and all this venom and all this hell and brimstone you're always talking about, it makes me nervous.
Yeah, it would, wouldn't it? What you're telling me is that it's okay for you to just reject the Bible, but it's not okay for me to reject atheism and have my opinions based on that.
Well, there are different opinions on the Bible. I mean, everybody has different ways of looking at things also.
If the Bible says the elder is to be the husband of one wife, then the elder is to be the husband of one wife. Joel Osteen, I heard the recording, that when he was asked if Mormons are Christians, he said, well, yes, they believe in Jesus. It should never be the case that the guy with the biggest church in America would ever say anything like that. They just knee-tackle while she's doing it. Just you get way back and you run. You get a running jump, you jump, dive into the air, and then knee tackle her like they do in football.
Okay.
Wake the neighbors, get the word out. Come on.
Hey everybody, how are you doing? Faith and Reason Time, and I am your host. Darn, I did it again. You know, it's going to take me months. I even wrote it in my notes. It's Carm Radio. We're changing our name from Faith and Reason, which I love, but Carm Radio. There's another ministry that uses Faith and Reason. That's why we're changing it. And they've been around longer than Carm. And really nice folks and stuff like that. We're just trying to change our name and kind of get to Carm Radio. Whatever. Not that big a deal. And being the nice guy that I am, I'm like, yeah, sure. So I thought about doing that anyway. So there you go. Hey, if you want to call 877-207-2276. And if you want to get in via Skype, just type in carm.org in Skype and you can get in. Now, let me tell you, right now, I have no idea what to talk about. Usually what happens is I'll come into the studio and, my mind fills with something right about now or a little bit before. Like, hey, I think I'll talk about this. And sometimes it just doesn't happen. Sometimes there's just nothing. Oh, boy, I got to be careful what I say because I could get the anti-Matt Slick people out there. They might say, get that clip and play it because believe it or not, there are a lot of people out there who, well, I don't know why, but they don't like me. Why would they not like me? Just because I call them heretics? Just because I say Mormons aren't Christians? Roman Catholicism is apostate? Jehovah's Witnesses are lost? You know, evolution is false? The atheists don't even like calling me up anymore. Woe is me. Hey, now when the atheists don't want to call up, I guess that means they don't love me anymore. Yeah. But I enjoy talking to atheists, you know, because they call up and then we get to do some mental gymnastics, some logic talk. Well, at least I talk logically. I don't know about them. And then they try and tell that there's no God and things like that. Just lame. Lamisms. Lamisms. And it's ridiculous. So, at any rate. Hey. Tomorrow night, I'll be teaching in Nampa on dispensationalism versus covenantalism. Does that sound rather esoteric? I mean, those big words like dispensationalism and covenantalism, people are going to be saying, what the heck is that? Dispensationalism is the basic idea that God works in history based on dispensations or periods of time, and that he works in an age of grace, an age of works, things like that. And I'm going to go through the Schofield seven dispensation model and progressive dispensationalism and things like this. And I'm going to compare it and contrast it to covenantalism. What's a covenant, you ask? I'm glad you asked that. It is the teaching that God works covenantally. A covenant is a pact or an agreement between two or more parties. And so God works covenantally. And we'll go over some of that. You know, why is this important? Does it really relate to how, you know, you're going to have a prosperous life? Well, I don't know. It's just something that we use to interpret the Bible. We want to talk about what the Bible says. It's a model that people will impose over the Bible, hopefully. They think that they at least exegete it. That means extract it out of the scriptures instead of imposing a view on the scriptures and say, well, this is how God works. You know, it's like he always works in sevens, for example. The heptatic approach. He's always rooks and sevens, so there has to be seven books that we look to, or seven thises or seven thats. And people will take a model, and they'll put it over the Bible, and they'll interpret it through that Bible model. So dispensations works like that. Sometimes covenantal stuff works like that. Now, there are some advantages and disadvantages to each one. Now, I'm kind of, just so you know, people are going to say I'm inconsistent, and that's fine, but I think I'm biblical. I'm kind of a blend between covenantal and dispensational because I'm a definite covenantalist. God works covenantally. That I'm convinced of. I don't have any problem about that. But, you know, some people will say, well, you know, the traditional covenantalists will say that it's called replacement theology, that the church has just replaced Israel. I don't believe that. I believe that God still got stuff to do with Israel, and I see that out of Romans 11. They're going over that tomorrow, going over the verses and things like that. And so I'm kind of a half-breed, I guess. I'd say 80% covenantal, you know, 10% dispensational. I don't believe in the dispensation thing, though, as in seven dispensations and things like that. But I do believe that God is going to be still be done. I mean, God's still going to be done. God is still going to be using Israel. And that's not typically a covenantal position, but some are some who hold to it. It's kind of dispian-ish. Dispian-ish. How about that for a nice word? It doesn't exist. I just make up. So I'll be talking about that. If you guys are interested, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, all you got to do is take the freeway out to Nampa. Get off on exit 36. Just go north 3/4 mile. On the left-hand side is the church called The Crossing. The Crossing Church. Incidentally, I'll be preaching there on December 25th. And it's Sunday. So, the pastor's going to go relax. I don't know what he's going to do. He's got family stuff. It's vacation time. He works hard. And he said, hey, you want to preach? I said, right, sure. So, I expect like 5 people there because it's Sunday, church day, which is Christmas Day. The same day. So I'll be preaching. I do not even know what I'm going to be preaching about. I don't know. Not going to worry about it. I always ask the Lord, what do you want me to preach about? And when I go to a church, just, you know, and I'll go through things. Just kind of like look around, you know, through the Word. See, you know, as I'm asking God, what do you want? What do you want me to speak on? You know, and hopefully I'm hearing His voice, you know. And sometimes what happens is I'll just get this idea. You know, it'll stick in my mind. I don't know why. It'll just kind of stick with me. And so I'll, you know, okay, think about that. And, you know, kind of get an interest in it. And that's how kind of it works. Is that the Lord? I don't know. But then I go preach it. And it usually works. I mean, I don't get eggs thrown at me. However, I was chased out of a church once. I was chased out of a church. And I'll tell you about that. Oh, by the way, I will not be in the studio this Friday, December 9th, because today is Tuesday, the 6th for the podcasters, 12/6/2011. Friday's my birthday, turning the big 5-5, and we're going to have a costume party in a place in Boise. And so I will be out of the studio because we won't have enough time to do everything and get everything fixed up. It'd be fun, though, to do a show on my birthday, have people call up. I'd like that. I would like that, you know. But my wife gave me the look when I even hinted at the idea. You know, how many of you guys out there got the look from your wife? You know, you're saying, hey, honey, I was thinking about going out with the guy. And it's like, the look. You're like, never. I was thinking about doing it never, you know, because if I were to dare think about doing anything with the guys and without you, that I, you know, it would never happen. It's just, I don't know what I was, I'll take a trash out, bye. You know, that's how it is. You know, guys, what that is. Don't, the look is like, you know, the eyeball staring at you, laser beams. And, you know, so you just run, cower, and things like that. So, you know, I said, hey, you know, I was thinking about doing the radio show, the look. Maybe next week? You know, like that. The look. I've talked about it on the radio before. Guys know what I'm talking about. But you know what? Women, they haven't even looked, you know, they haven't called up about the look. Women should do that sometime. Talk about the look. You know, Well, the guys are terrified of the look. You can't just say the look. You got to say the look. It's got to be like that. Okay, how many in the chat room have mastered the look? See, Night Witness says they've mastered the look. And you had to say it in quotes. You know, it's got to be in quotes. It can't be the look. It's got to be the look. Did you know that I've literally, actually, I got to get it published, written a book called How to Woo and Win Women by Being an Obnoxious Jerk? And I remember back in seminary when I was writing it, I wanted something to, you know, to do besides theology all the time. I wrote this book, and my favorite chapter is How to Be Interesting, and there's nothing in it. Just blank, just a title, How to Be Interesting. Then you go to the next chapter. And I called up some publishing houses, and I was talking, I said, I don't know, how do you get a book published? How do you submit a book to you guys? You know, these humor places, right? They publish humor stuff. Well, you have to go in, you have to do a submission, and you go to this website. And I said, oh, okay, well, that book's kind of weird. It's How to Woo and Win Women by Being an Obnoxious Jerk. And they would laugh, you know, over the phone. I said, no research necessary. It's all natural. And they'd laugh. And then I'd have them say, hey, send it to me personally. And so I did. And I got three places that I sent it to. They all, you know, two of them just rejected it. And one of them said they wanted to publish it. But they had to wait because they had the quota of books. They said, we loved it. We're passing it around all around the office, reading out of it. And then I never sent it back because I forgot where it was. How about that? Hey, I should put my hand in front of my own face. Sagao? No, it's not S-E-G-A-H-O. It's S-A-G-I-O. Or A-O. S-A-G. Here, let me pronounce it. Sagao. Like that. That's kind of transliteration. Someone is using the Greek word sagao, which in Greek means complete, absolute silence. I was going to talk about something. I forgot what it was. I'm rambling. 877-207. Maybe this call will be good. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Robert from Illinois. Hey, Robert, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you, Matt?
Fine. What's up? What do you got?
You asked me to call you, so I thought I'd call you.
Okay, what about?
I don't know. You asked me to call you. You emailed me several times, I think, over the past month or two, and I figured, well, it would be respectful to give you a buzz.
Now, are you the Roman Catholic guy?
I'm the Catholic guy, yes.
Yeah, I remember you. You're the guy who's saying, I don't know what I'm talking about, and all this stuff.
Yeah, you'd be a coward, all that stuff,
uh-huh,
right?
Yeah, that's right. You were calling me a coward and everything.
I admit it, you know. I'm a very honest guy.
Okay, well, so why are you calling me a coward?
Well, because when you get on certain programs and whatever, and you talk to certain guests, and you say you hate Catholic Church because of this and that and whatever, you fail to always indicate that who the founder is and who, you know, when was this Roman Catholic Church founded. That's why I don't use those terms, because there's 22
Well, wait a minute.
Of the Catholic Church, by the way.
Well, how does that make me a coward? How does it make me a coward if
because you never answer the question.
Well, wait. How does it make me a coward if I don't give a specific exact date to something?
Because you know what? If you say that something is not true, if I say that your church is not true, okay, and if I give you a reason why it's not true, and you ask me, well, what is that reason? And I tell you that, well, it's not true because I don't believe its doctrines are Christian. Because you don't. Be honest with that.
No, so, a lot of the Roman Catholic doctrines are Christian.
You do. You said that Catholics are not Christians.
No, they're not.
They're
Roman,
not
official Roman Catholics.
There you go. You
yeah,
said
they're not
it.
Christians. Yeah.
So I want to know why. And if you believe that, the chain of events would lead me to ask you.
Okay. You
who
want to know why?
Founded the Roman Catholic Church? I'd like to know. I mean, that's you have a divine mandate to tell me.
I do. I have a divine
yeah,
mandate
do.
To tell you who founded the Roman
well,
Catholic
if,
Church.
If you believe that, if you believe. That I would be in the wrong church.
You are in the wrong church.
Then you would have a divine mandate to tell me and educate me.
What's a divine mandate? Tell me what that is.
Well, let's see. It's usually something that someone knows about spiritual matters from Scripture, and has and is telling others about Scripture relating to another, concerning it, and keeping, I guess, a secret as to what, you know, what that's all about. If I know something about something or someone, I have to tell them. I'm divinely mandated to tell them, because if I don't tell them, then what is the purpose of me even starting a conversation saying Roman Catholicism is a false religion, yada, yada. I could do that about Mormonism, and we all know who the founder is of that. But we don't know who the founder of Roman Catholicism is?
The devil.
And yet we say those things?
Yeah, it's not of God, obviously. The Roman Catholic Church is not of God.
Then a person can respectfully ask the question, if it's not of God, who is it of?
The devil.
Okay, who founded it?
Who founded the devil?
Who founded the Roman Catholic Church?
No, you don't understand. It's not the Roman Catholic Church was founded, because what you're doing is making a mistake. You're not understanding the issue. The Catholic Church, in the sense of it being universal, was simply started by Christ. It moved on and then became politicalized, and then around the 4th, 5th, 6th century, some people have differences of opinions of exactly when, what century, the Roman Catholic Church became Roman Catholic, became apostate. When did that exact date happen? We don't know, but it fell away from the truth.
Know.
It became apostate.
Okay, but you're saying that, now this is good, actually, because you're saying that it became apostate around the 3rd, 4th, 5th
I don't know, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, some say
so
it's
know,
the
right?
9th. Yeah, I don't know
because
exactly.
You have to worry about the councils, you know, and the definitions of Trinity and the deity, so you have to walk
Hey, buddy, look, no, hold on. Don't make the mistake of thinking that because there are councils that said some things that were right, that it makes the Roman Catholic Church correct. As it stands right now, the Roman Catholic Church is apostate, and if you believe official Roman Catholic theology, you're going to go to hell when you die.
But you don't know who founded it.
Okay, take your right hand and put it in front of your face.
I did.
Look to your left.
Mm-hmm.
Now slap yourself upside the head.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you hear what I said?
What's your point, Matt?
I want you to listen. It became apostate. Don't know exactly when. Why would you say, well, then when did it happen?
Because I want to know the legitimacy of that apostasy.
The legitimacy of the apostasy is arrived at when we compare Roman Catholic teaching to Scripture. And
well,
we see
another topic. You know that.
No. This is what it is. The Roman Catholic Church teaches.
No, it isn't, because the Scripture didn't fall on your lap in a leatherette. Okay.
What?
So
wait. The Word of God is the final authority.
Yeah. Well, that's for you. Okay. Obviously, you're missing 2 Thessalonians 2:15 and 1 Timothy 3:15.
Don't tell me you want to do the tradition thing.
Look, all I'm saying is, you know, you
Hold on. You want to go to the tradition thing?
Only
is that
fair.
What you want to do? Really? So you think?
Well, it's only fair.
Wait
the,
a second.
The fact of the,
did you just appeal to the Scriptures to support your tradition?
I appeal to the Scriptures to
yes, you did.
Point to you that you're wrong.
Wait a minute. You went to the Scriptures as your authority?
No, well, I have them. I 2024 site, so I'm lucky to have that, yeah.
So you immediately went to the Scriptures to talk
Obviously,
about tradition.
The first 4 centuries, I wouldn't be able to.
Okay. We're talking what you just did. You shot yourself in the foot. You just went to the Bible. You went to the Bible, 2 Thessalonians 2:15. You want to talk about tradition?
Candy, yes.
What's that?
I didn't shoot myself in any head.
Yes, you did.
I went into Scriptures because we do recognize Scripture is authoritative. We don't believe it is sola authoritative.
Well, 2 Timothy...
I refer to a Scripture that whose verse actually was not even written by any Protestant. It was written by... Actually, the verse itself, the management of the Bible, was all done by the Catholic Church.
No, that's not true.
You believe the apostasy.
No, I reject that flat out. But 2 Thessalonians 2:15 is not about sacred tradition. It's about the tradition dealing with the second coming of Christ. That's the context.
What does it say? Can you read that to me?
Sure. Sure. It says this. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or mouth or letter from us. It says, so then.
Right.
So then from what?
Both or neither.
From what?
It's both or neither, isn't it?
What are you talking about, both or neither?
Well, doesn't it say that written and oral?
Okay, look.
Look,
2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 3 says this. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not shaken of mind or be troubled, neither in spirit nor by word, nor as a letter coming from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Paul is talking about the return of Christ. He goes to verse 5. He then speaks of the man of lawlessness, verses 6 through 10, about the coming delusion, 11 through 12. Then Paul says that God has chosen them for salvation, verse 13, called them through the gospel, 14. It is after this that Paul then tells the Thessalonians to stand firm and hold to the traditions which were taught. It has nothing to do with Roman Catholic sacred tradition. It has to do with the return of Christ.
I'm not talking about Roman Catholic. The fact is that you don't know when this apostasy took place.
No, I don't know exactly when it, but I know it's here now.
And now that you didn't know that, now the fact that you didn't know that shows that the church from the first, second, third century at least was pure in her teachings.
Oh, brother. Hey, look, if I see a wrecked car, and I go up and say, the car's wrecked, and you say, when did it happen? I say, I don't know. Well, then why would you say it's wrecked? Duh, this is what you're doing. If we can see it's wrecked, why? Well, we know it happened sometime. It's apostate. The Roman Catholic Church is apostate.
Yeah. You know what? We have witnesses that would tell us when it happened.
Oh, brother. Look, the witness is the Word of God. Let me ask you some questions.
I'm not arguing with you.
Let me ask you a question. Do you earn your eternal life?
No. Did we even start to talk about that discussion? The discussion is meant about you know, since you are telling everybody that the Roman Catholic Church
absolutely
is apostate, I want to know when.
I don't know when.
I
told
the
you
date
that.
And time.
I don't know that exact date.
That's good.
I told you.
You made that clear, and
it happened.
That's honesty of you.
Now it's like saying there's a car wreck. I don't know exactly when it happened, but it's obvious it did.
And you turn to the witnesses, and I turn to the early church fathers.
You can turn to the church fathers all you want. I don't care about that. I want the Word of God. Now look.
Well, you know what? You have the Word of God. The Word of God in 2 Thessalonians 2:15 relies on the early church fathers and relies on sacred scripture.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
2 Timothy 2:15 is written by Paul. The early church fathers were after him. 2 Timothy 2:15 doesn't rely on the early church fathers.
Were? Okay. And what I'm saying simply is that just like a wrecked car, you may be able to find the witnesses and ask them, do you know when it happened? Did you see it happen? Actually, when I was a kid at 11 years old and in front of me, I was doing the guard duty. I saw two cars crash. So I can pinpoint and tell the officer, hey, I did see that happen at this juncture and at this time and yada, yada, yada. You can't do that about Roman Catholicism.
You're right. I cannot tell you exactly when it became apostate. You're right. Okay? Great. Now,
Fair enough. Let's look.
I had to tell you 15 times. Let's go with what it's actually saying and compare it to Scripture.
But you're making it. It's like me looking at a fir at a full oak grown. And just follow me for a second, okay? I know you have a show. A full grown oak tree, got all these branches and it's humongous, and saying to a person, "This is what it was. It was a little seed right there." It's the same thing. And you're comparing, and you're saying basically, no, that's not an oak tree. This is something different. That's exactly what you're saying. You're looking at 2,000 years of history, and you're comparing one.
The Roman
thing
Catholic Church
to
is
all,
a false church.
No, you're reading the Bible like you would a New York Times. That's how you're doing it.
I am.
Yes, you are.
I don't read the New York Times.
Well, I don't either for some reasons. But the fact is, you're reading it like you would read a newspaper. Okay. Mm.
I am.
And people disagree about
it. I do?
Newspaper.
Wait. I do? I read it just like I read a newspaper?
Okay, you don't read the... Well, I don't know. I'm just saying that I feel from what...
You feel?
What I hear you talk. Yeah, I do feel. I have feelings. You have feelings?
So you're just giving me a subjective opinion.
Are you arbitrarily choosing every word I say?
Well, you're the one, buddy, who's called into my show. You've called me all kinds of names in email.
I did. I called you a coward.
Yeah, you did.
Because you couldn't name the date. I mean,
Know the date, look, so the car's wrecked and someone says, when did it happen? I don't know. Oh, you're a coward. Has nothing to do with the issue. You're not bright enough to figure it out. This is why I want you to call up the show. You don't even know what logic is.
No, I do know what logic is.
No, you don't.
No, because you know what? First of all, Roman Catholic, the term Roman Catholic wasn't even used at that time.
Oh, brother.
And that's the fact.
Look, let's go over what the Roman Catholic Church teaches.
Go ahead.
Okay. Now, do you believe that you can attain salvation, let's say, through your faith in God, your baptism, and your observance of the commandments?
Well, I just look at the Gospels and I see what the rich man said to Jesus, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus certainly didn't say, you know, give him a sinner's prayer, did he?
Okay, you didn't answer my question. Do you believe that you attain salvation?
I responded with an answer.
No, you didn't give me an answer. I said, do you believe? It's about you. I said, what do you believe?
Okay.
That's the question.
Okay.
Well, if you go to something else, this is what I do sometimes. I had one guy or girl a couple, 3 months ago. I'd ask a question, and I made a joke out of it after a while because I'd say, hey, what church do you go to? Hey, look, it's blue over there. You know, it'd be a nonsensical response because it wasn't answering the question I would ask, going to some other direction. I said, do you believe that you can attain salvation through faith, baptism, and observance of the commandments? You do? Okay. Because that's what the Catholic...
I do believe that you need to follow the...
Okay, okay.
You know, unless you follow my commands, you cannot be my disciple, Jesus
okay.
says.
Now,
very simple.
So that all men may attain salvation through faith, baptism, and observance of the commandments. That's the Catholic Catechism, paragraph 26.
Well, it's part of it. I mean, it's not a... I mean,
hey, man, let me finish.
I mean,
let me finish, buddy.
Okay.
I want people to know the
doctrine.
You don't help me out by interrupting every sentence. Paragraph 2068 of the Catholic Catechism. That's what it says. Okay?
Yeah.
Now,
that's what Jesus says, too.
That's not what Jesus says. Now, the commandments, what are they? The observance of the commandments, what are those?
I think they're in Exodus
20.
What is it, Exodus 20?
Ten commandments, okay.
22.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you do with Paul when he says Romans 3:28? Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, which is the commandments.
Well, it depends on the scripture translation you're using. If you're using the original KJV, it has 400 errors. Usually the translation is accurate. It says apart from works. It doesn't say by faith alone. It says we're saved by faith apart from works.
So do you want me to go to the Greek?
So they use the word alone.
You want me to go to the Greek?
Go ahead. I have a Greek lexicon here. Go ahead.
Okay. So then... what it actually is saying there is logizomitha, which is from logic, logids, okay? We reason, we think, we conclude that to be made right, okay? Believe without works of the law. That's what it says, okay? To be made right, you're by faith, without the works of the law, okay? Is that faith alone?
Okay. Without works of the law, he's separating what works he's talking about. He's not saying all works. He's saying works of the law.
So works of the law. So you guys are teaching. You guys are teaching. You have to keep the commandments to be saved. And Paul says the exact opposite.
Well James isn't. James is pretty clear in other terms. So I'm not going to bring him up, but you know that.
You're not going to bring him up.
Martin Luther wanted to throw out James, Jude, Revelations, Tobit, all kinds of books.
Well, hold on. I'm specifically asking a specific question. Paul said in Romans 3:28, he says, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. But the Catholic Catechism says that you're saved by faith, baptism, and keeping the commandments.
Well, there's a scripture. I'm sure there's a scripture. I don't have a Catholic Catechism in front of me. But it's echoing the words of Christ. The rich man asks Jesus, do you follow the command? That's the first thing Jesus said.
Yeah. You got to
I do, Lord.
Follow him. Really?
Okay. Well,
do you follow him?
Give me a chance to respond.
You don't know what he's saying there. Go ahead.
Will you give me a chance to respond?
You're responding. Go ahead.
All right. I will. After he says, you know, yes, I do, Lord. I have done this all my life. What does Jesus say then? Well, there is one more thing lacking in you. You need to leave everything you have, sell the riches that you have. Those are works, by the way. And come and follow me.
He didn't
give many guarantees.
Riches or works?
He didn't give him any guarantees, Matt. Can you read that Bible and you know yourself that Jesus did not give any guarantees? None.
For what? What are you talking about?
For salvation, okay? All right? To that young rich man. He said...
Well, you know why? Because the rich man was appealing
all the riches,
to his riches and his works. That's why he doesn't have any hope.
Yeah, and he said, go sell all that you have,
uh-huh.
Give it to the poor, and come and follow me.
Yeah.
Did you hear in any of those words that Jesus guaranteed his salvation?
Not at all.
Okay.
Because it wasn't
all
by
right,
faith.
Bravo.
It wasn't by faith.
Okay, well,
because he's talking about what must I do. That's why there is no guarantee of salvation.
You're talking Jesus is going to parse words with a person over salvation. Is that what you're
yes.
saying? Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad that you put that up.
We can go to what Jesus taught completely.
Jesus doesn't parse.
He uses
Jesus
the word.
Has a divine mandate, too.
He knows
exactly the heart of this man's question.
Look. Jesus actually uses the same word, justified.
If I came to you and asked you, what must I do to be saved, you're going to give me Jesus' answer?
Yeah.
What are you going to say?
I'm going to show you right here. This is what Jesus says.
Okay.
Luke 18, 10 through 14. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself. He says this, God, I thank thee that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, and even like this tax gatherer. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Now, what did this guy do? Jesus actually said he's saved. That's what it means to be justified. He's justified. What did he do? Any works at all? Any following the commandments at all? Are you there?
I don't understand. No, I'm just listening, trying to absorb what you're saying. But
did this tax gatherer?
No, he was not.
Did the tax gatherer do?
Jesus said he. Right.
Did you,
he's boasting about, you know, he's basically almost like Simon. He's trying to transfer all the good works that
buddy,
he's doing
buddy.
To being saved in heaven. That's
Robert,
what he's saying. I mean, he's not.
Robert. Was,
yeah.
The guy, all he did was appeal to
yeah,
God.
Man.
That's all he did, pray and ask God to be merciful
right.
to him. That's all.
That's right. He didn't have to say a sinner's prayer, did he?
That is the sinner's prayer right there.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. Lifting his eyes to heaven.
Lord,
beating
I'm
his
sorry.
Breast, saying, God, be merciful
right.
to me, a sinner. He's a sinner, and he's
yeah.
praying,
That's
and he gets
he
mercy. He's saved. That's a sinner's
That's
prayer.
It. That's it. That's, well, I don't know if he got saved, because he didn't...
Jesus said he went down justified.
Sinner's prayer has Jesus as your Savior.
Hey,
your
Jesus said he was justified. That
yeah.
means he's saved.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
So it's sure. a sinner's prayer. By faith alone, he was saved.
Yeah.
Is there any works in there at all?
Point.
There's no works at all. No keeping the commandments, nothing.
That's only one. That's fine. That he was in the temple and Jesus was relating a thing of... He was comparing, you know, which of these people, just like in the Good Samaritan, which of the people are valued, you know, as having true holiness, you know, true gumption to recognize their frailty before God. Was it this Pharisee or was it this man in the back who was beating his breast? That's all what Jesus' point was. But that man, that rich boy, asked Jesus, "How you know what must I
uh-huh.
do to be saved?"
And what did he say?
Specific question to me. Wouldn't you think so, Matt?
Keep all the commandments.
Well, what do you think? What did Jesus? How did Jesus answer?
He said, "Keep the commandments."
Why don't you
right?
read it.
Is that what he said?
I'm asking you right now. What must I do to be saved? How are you going to answer a normal person? Be honest.
Put your trust in Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins.
Is that how Jesus answered the rich young man?
The rich young man, he answered the man appropriately to what the guy's need was.
Oh, come on. You're parsing words. Give me a break. He's asking, what must I do to be saved? He's not asking, what must I do to carry out the works of the law?
He said, go sell everything,
saved.
Right?
Saved.
As it works, right?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Did the guy, was he saved? No. He went to go do all these things. It wasn't even enough, was it? Jesus said, now do this and this and this. Paul tells us. Paul tells us, if you're going
to
stumble in one point of the law, then you're guilty of all of it. If you're going to try and keep one point, you're absolutely guilty. You have to keep all of the law. This guy was coming, what must I do to be saved? Paul, Jesus is telling him, this is what you got to do. Do these things. Then you can be saved. Do them, but you can't mess up at all. You can't.
Have you always said the same thing?
Listen, yeah, I can say this to somebody. If you want to be saved, be perfect. Don't break up.
What does that
mean? Don't break one law.
You're going to say that to a person who walks down the street and asks you.
That's one of the things I could say. I could say that's the Roman Catholic way.
Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself.
Wait. Be honest with my. Wait a second. Be honest with myself.
Yeah, be honest. Be honest and say, what must
now,
I do?
Wait a minute.
Be honest? And ask you,
really?
Yeah, I'm asking you to be honest because you're not.
I'm not honest?
No, you're not. Not concerning that topic.
Okay, so now you're saying I'm lying.
Isn't it fair to say?
Now you're saying I'm lying.
I'm only using scripture, by the way, man. I'm not using tradition.
Wait a second, Robert. Look, you're saying that I'm a liar now.
Well, you said it, not me.
No. It's what you're saying.
Liar. I never said you're a liar because I didn't say what you
said.
You said
be honest.
I would have said you're lying.
Wait a minute. Right? Robert, you said be honest. You repeated it. So are you saying I'm not being honest?
We're just parsing. You're parsing words, what you're doing. Okay?
You're the one who said this.
Well, you're parsing words because you know that exactly what the answer in evangelical would be if someone were to confess. I went to an evangelical church and I asked an arbitrary question, what must I do to be saved? And then I pointed the scripture verse to what Jesus answered. And then they were like, oh, well, you know, whatever.
Okay.
All I'm trying to tell you is that you're not following exactly what Jesus really is saying. And
well, let's go with what he's saying.
Catechism of the Catholic Church, and you're saying that's false.
Let's go with what he says.
I'm showing you another verse, and it's saying it's the same.
Well, let's go with what Jesus says. Now, you could realize that you make a mistake whenever you want to attack someone's character and call them a liar. And then you get called on it. You need to.
If I did that, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that to you. Okay, I meant to allegorically point to you that what you were saying was you were parsing the truth a little bit.
Okay, now here's what goes. And behold, one came to him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why are you asking about what is good? There's only one who's good. Only God alone
you're
is good."
Pointing to another scripture passage.
But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. Right?
Okay.
He said to him,
if you wish to enter into life,
yeah.
Life. Ooh, that means heaven. Okay.
Okay. Keep the commandments. All right? Would mm-hmm. you agree with that?
Yeah.
So you got to keep
the
commandments.
That's what the catechism says.
Okay. Now, so Jesus then says, you shall not commit murder, not commit adultery, not steal, not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, you shall love your neighbors yourself. Young man said, I've kept all these things. What am I still lacking? Jesus said, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Now, this is what we're talking about, Matthew 19.
Yeah.
So, was this young man saved? He says he's doing this. Was he saved? Does he have eternal life by keeping the commandments?
Jesus didn't finish the question. He said, one more thing is needed.
Well, wait a minute.
Sell everything.
Wait a minute. Keeping the commandments... Yeah. You said you got to keep the commandments. Jesus says, here are the commandments you got to keep. He says, I'm doing that. But Jesus is saying, it's not enough.
Yeah, to him. Correct.
So keeping the commandments is not enough, right there in the text.
Well, following him is certainly not something you would say either.
Well, wait a minute.
Are we keeping both wrong?
Hold on. Jesus says, keeping the commandments, list these things out, right? And he says, he's done these. But he just says, you're still lacking. It's not good enough, is it? According to Jesus right there, it's not good enough. So, are you keeping the commandments?
Yes.
Really?
Are you? Yeah.
No, I'm not. I am not keeping the commandments. I try. I try.
You know what
I fail.
I'm talking about, the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, I try, but I fail. Do you?
I do. I mean, obviously we all sin once in a while. I mean, even a blind hog finds an acorn once in a while.
Oh, so you're not keeping the commandments.
Well, no, not perfectly.
So you're not keeping the commandments.
Well, sometimes I break one or two. I'm a human being, right?
Aren't James 2:10. For whoever keeps the whole law...
Do you follow the commandments perfectly?
No, I don't. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he's become guilty of all.
Okay.
So you said you got to keep the commandments to be saved. James is telling us you got to keep the whole law. You can't stumble in one point.
Right.
So you're
law,
damned.
That's not commandments, perhaps.
No, you're damned by what the scriptures say.
Yeah.
You're guilty of all of it by trying to keep it by your commandments, which Jesus never says to this rich man who says he's doing that. He says, you're still lacking this. The commandments aren't enough by Christ's own words.
Jesus is finished with them. He says, one more thing is lacking, so it looks like there's
go
more
sell.
Work.
So then what you got to do to be saved is sell your possessions and keep the commandments.
Right.
Okay, have you done that?
Well, that's what Jesus is. Everybody, I guess he was speaking to him specifically, personally.
Oh, so that's not a universal commandment. It's not a universal thing for everybody, then? That shouldn't be something you should appeal to, then, if it's not for everybody, like you just did.
Well, it is in the sense that you can't just, willy-nilly do whatever you want.
Well, you're the one who appealed to this scripture, and now you're backtracking.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not. I'm telling you exactly what Jesus said. What Jesus said when to the man that approached him and said, "Well, must I be to be saved?" Jesus gave the answer, and you're basically parsing by saying, "Well, he meant it to this, he meant it to that, he meant it what it was," and it was basically, "Do you, where are you at in your life? Are you, you got to start clean somewhere. You can't just sort of utter a few words and that's going to be it."
Okay.
I can't say the sinner's prayer.
I'm going to show you something here in Scripture. This is what Jesus is teaching. And you need to look at this. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?" Then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you practice lawlessness." Day of judgment, they're appealing to their salvation in their faith and their works. They cast out, in your name, that's faith, cast out demons, perform miracles, right? That's what he says. And Jesus says, "Get away from me, you evildoers." Wait a minute. They believe in Christ and are doing good works, and yet he says they're evildoers. How is that? Can you explain that?
I'm not sure that I understand exactly what you're trying to say.
Jesus said, on the day of judgment, there are going to be people there. They're going to be appealing to their deliverance from judgment, for their salvation. In your name, that means they believed in Christ. They claim to, anyway. Mm-hmm. In your name, did we not do, and list three things, teach, heal, cast out demons. Teach, cast out demons, perform miracles in the name of Christ, and he condemns them to hell. Why does he do that? They're doing good works in his name. On the day of judgment, he condemns them to hell. Why?
Well, maybe because they were acting like that Pharisee who's boasting about doing all the good things and he really wasn't doing anything.
Okay. They were appealing.
Remember that one?
Go with what it says. What are they doing?
Yeah, but I'm just simply showing you that maybe that's what there was nothing in their heart. I mean, you could all the televangelists of the 80s.
Oh, so then...
be doing things.
Did not the...
That doesn't mean that what...
Did not the Pharisee who went up to the temple and prayed, did he not appeal to God on his faith and his works? He goes, obviously a believer in God, and he says, "Look, I do this, this, and this, and I don't do these bad things."
How do you know he wasn't talking about people who believe in faith alone and just, sort of like walk through the streets and carouse? They go to church one day, I'm saved. Hey, I can do whatever I want. How do you know he's not appealing to those people?
All right, this is what Jesus actually said. Two men went to the temple to pray. Uh-huh. One a Pharisee, and the Pharisee is the one who said, "I fast twice, I pay the tithes." He's boasting in what his faith is and his works. And Jesus said he's the one who's lost. In Matthew 7:22 and 23, Jesus again says, the day of judgment, etc., the same kind of a thing. People are appealing to their faith and their works. He condemns them too.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Jesus is teaching.
He's condemning people for different things.
Both of them. It's the same thing, their faith and their works for their righteousness before God.
No, he's not. He's they're not condemning them for faith.
Their faith, faith I said their faith and their works. The combination of faith and works for salvation.
Where is he condemning them for that? Because they have faith and works.
Okay. Now, Paul the Apostle.
I don't follow that.
I know you don't because you're not regenerate.
Right, I'm a reprobate.
Yes,
right?
You are. What about reprobate? That means predestined to damnation. I don't know if that's the case.
Well, you're,
but I know that you're not. I know you're not a Christian. You don't understand what the true gospel is. And I've given you scriptures, and you can't respond to them. You can't answer them.
Right. You can't answer mine, and I can't answer yours.
Oh, I answer yours. I can answer yours.
No, you didn't.
Oh, brother.
No, you didn't. You just jumped to another.
What, the scriptures?
Yes. Whenever I give a verse, you simply go, your way of doing it is simply to jump to another verse because it can explain it better for your agenda.
I don't recall.
Your feeling,
I don't recall jumping to another verse. I went to the verses you quoted and analyzed them. Matthew 19.
Yeah.
Okay. I did it. You rich man. I went to it and read it. Man, you don't know what you're doing, man. You don't know what you're doing.
But you're not responding. You're not responding to that verse. You're not responding to
responding.
Why didn't Jesus just? Well, but the fact is, why didn't Jesus in that scripture? When a man is asking clearly, what must I do to be saved? It's a very bare, naked question.
Yeah.
You can't get more bare naked than that.
In fact, that question is asked.
What is Jesus' response?
Keep all the commandments, right?
Okay.
And then when the guy says he's done it, Jesus doesn't say he's saved, does he? He says you're still lacking.
That's right.
So what's going on that Jesus would say, are you keeping the commandments? It's not good enough, is it? That's what Jesus is saying because he says you're still lacking. You're keeping the commandments. If eternal life is by keeping the commandments, then why is Jesus saying it's not enough?
What is not enough? But he's not saying the first thing he's saying is, are you saved? Do you know me as your personal Lord and Savior? He's not saying that either, is he?
You can't answer, man. You're done.
You can't.
I answered it. I've been going through the text with you. I took you to the text you quoted, and there it is in Matthew 19.
Yeah.
And in there, and when you gave me a long pause of silence, when the guy said that he was keeping the commandments, Jesus said, you're still lacking stuff. Well, wait a minute. You're the one who affirmed 2068 in the Catholic Catechism that says you obtain salvation through faith, baptism, and keeping the commandments.
Right.
And obviously, you can't.
Well, Jesus said that was the starting point.
This is what the Catholic
Church
says.
Follow the commandments.
Starting point?
That's what the Bible says. This is what Jesus says.
Really?
You follow the commandments.
Then why does it say, why does Paul say this? But to the one who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness.
Then we need to go back to James 4:20 then.
James chapter 4, verse 20. Notice, folks, I go to a verse. I'm responding to what he says.
James talking about. Yeah.
And you jump. You don't even look at what
you're
I'm
laughing
saying.
At me now.
Yeah, there is no James 4:20.
Oh, then I must have messed up a little bit here. I think it's James.
Yeah, faith. James 2:20. Faith without works is useless.
James 2:14. James 2:14. James 2:14-26. Yeah.
I know that quite well. What use is it, brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? The faith that has no works is a dead faith. James is dealing with a horizontal, with faith before people, but not before God.
How do you know that?
Because he says, verse 18, but someone will say to me, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works. I will show you my faith by my works. That's how we know. Because James is saying the horizontal between individuals. That's how he's saying. It's right there in verse 18.
Oh, really? Really that simple?
Yes!
Then why does he go on to say, about Abraham and justification by works?
Yes.
When he offered Isaac to his altar. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac to his Isaac, his son, on the altar? Isn't he referring to that?
He's referring to
what salvation
is. Context of what James is talking about is not justification before God, but only before men. This is what he's talking about. As a result of the works, faith was perfected.
Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for his righteousness.
So, wait a minute. He believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness? What was reckoned as righteousness? What was reckoned as righteousness to Abraham? His belief. Now, check this out. This is Romans 4. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, is found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he's something to boast about, but not before God. Now, Paul in Romans 4 is talking about justification before God. And then he says, for what does the scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor, but what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. He's talking, bringing in Abraham.
You're only looking at half of the verses. You're not reading everything.
I'm reading.
When James gets into it in James 2:14-26, it's pretty emphatic. You can't just let someone, off the hook by just saying, I'm going to pray for you and James is simply talking
that true faith produces true works. That's all.
No, he's not saying. He's not describing what faith is. Is that what you're saying? He's describing what faith is?
What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food.
So that means you need faith and work.
And daily food.
I'm
trying to read the scriptures. And one of you says, go in peace, be warmed, and be filled, and yet you don't give him what is necessary for their body. What use is that? Even so, faith.
Yeah.
Faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself.
That's right.
True faith is demonstrated before people by works.
What are you saying?
But someone will say, no, I'm not. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works. I will show you my faith by my works. You said that's not what it is. And James just says that is what it is.
Yeah, he's saying that I will show you my faith by my works.
Right.
But he's not excluding them, is he?
Brother.
You want to talk about it, that's fine.
Since you're not regenerate, you're not able to see the true gospel.
I'm a reprobate. I'm a reprobate.
Do you know what reprobate means? Reprobate means predestined to damnation. I don't know if you're predestined to damnation. I know this. You're not a Christian. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that's fine.
You're not a Christian.
I differ.
Well, no, you're not a Christian.
That's so fine. But
if you were to die right now.
I don't know how long you got. But
if you were to die right now. Look, it may not happen, but if you were to die right now and face God, and he says, why should I let you into heaven? What are you going to tell him?
Well, I don't think Jesus is going to ask me those questions. I don't think he's going to give me a catechism answer to ask, did you do this? He doesn't keep check marks in heaven. I don't think that's the God I believe in.
Well, it's the Roman Catholic Church that says that, for example, we can merit for ourselves and others the graces needed for our sanctification, for the increase.
You should let me finish what it says. You're not really digging into it.
Okay, let me finish what it says. Let me finish what it says.
You're not. You're not reading the whole of that substance.
Hold on. And it cuts you off so I can read what it actually says. Because, hey, folks, notice, as soon as we hit that nerve, man, he doesn't want it being read. I'm going to read two paragraphs out of the Catholic Catechism, or the Catechism of the Catholic Church. This is official Roman Catholic theology. This is paragraph 2010 and 2027. Check this out. This is paragraph 2010. Moved by the Holy Spirit and by charity, we can then merit for ourselves and for others the graces needed for our sanctification, for the increase of grace and charity, and for the attainment of eternal life. So, you're meriting for yourselves the graces needed for eternal life. Now, people might say, well, you're misreading that, Matt. Oh, well. Paragraph 2027. Moved by the Holy Spirit, we can merit for ourselves. Hold on. I had to clear my throat there. We can merit for ourselves and for others all the graces needed to attain eternal life. No, wait a minute. You merit for yourselves, and then you merit for other people the grace is needed to attain eternal life, to attain forgiveness of sins and position with God is by your merit. That is what the Roman Catholic Church is teaching. Now, that is called heresy, right? That's called false doctrine. Check this out. Look at this, folks. This is this is out of paragraph 2080 and 2010 again. One sec. The specific precepts of the natural law, because their observance demanded by the Creator is necessary for salvation. This is what the Roman Catholic Church is teaching. It's necessary to observe the commandments. The specific precepts of the natural law, we'll get to this, because their observance is necessary for salvation. You must observe the natural law. That's what 2010 says. What is the natural law? The Catechism answers that in paragraph 2080. The Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. The Decalogue contains a privileged expression of the natural law. So the Ten Commandments, that's what it says, is a natural law. Back to 2010. The specific precepts of the natural law, of the Ten Commandments, because their observance demanded by the Creator, is necessary for salvation. It is necessary for you to observe the commandments, to keep the commandments of God, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, in order to be saved. You have to keep the commandments in order to be saved. Galatians 3:10 says, "For as many as are the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them.'" That's what it says. James 2:10, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all." Now, if we're supposed to keep the natural law because it's necessary for salvation, as 2010 says in the Catholic Catechism, then you're not allowed to stumble, and even at one point of breaking the law means you're guilty of breaking all of it. You see, this is called the impossible gospel with Roman Catholicism. I just wanted to get this out before this show ends. Roman Catholicism is apostate because it's teaching a false gospel. Salvation's by grace, faith, and you're keeping the commandments. And I've shown two places in Scripture where Jesus taught to the contrary of that. All right, let's get him back on. Candace, you there, Robert?
Have you read part about grace?
So
where grace is necessary.
Yeah, there's lots of things that the Bible that the Roman Catholicism
works
says are necessary.
Do not save you. Works alone do not save you.
I didn't
period.
Say works alone, did I?
Exclamation point. Yes, it does.
Did I say works
yes,
alone?
It does.
Did I say works alone anywhere?
You implied it.
I did not. I do not believe that's what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. Not works alone. I said works and faith. That's what I kept saying.
Okay. Well, yeah, it kind of. I agree with that.
In fact, but you know what else is necessary for salvation? Baptism. And
isn't baptism part of the entrance to
no, the sacrament of penance,
life?
Witness, being in the church. The music's going. We're out of time.
Music's
going. We're out of time. If you want to call back tomorrow, we can go at it some more. Hey, folks, listening
like to
CARM Radio, and folks, I hope that you enjoyed that. It was worth talking about what the truth is. I hope you can see the Roman Catholic Church teaching is false. It's not what the Bible teaches. It's important to know the truth to recognize error. God bless everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
This has been Faith and Reason with Matt Slick. For more, go to carm.org. That's carm.org.